You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some. See where
I live. IGN GameScoop. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hadfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis,
Scoop,
who's on Baby Watch.
Baby Watch?
Maybe his last Scoop for a while. Marty Sleeve is also here, everybody. And Sam Claiborne.
Scoop, Scoop.
You reminded me I need to get my phone out and at the ready.
Yep, you may be excused if need be.
I hope it almost happens this way. That'd be so dramatic.
That would be really dramatic.
Well, we've got that fire happen on NBC.
Yeah, that's true. We've got a great show for you this week. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Nintendo Switch. We're going to talk about the games we're playing. But first, you know, the video game industry is a sequel and franchise-driven industry.
Is that true? I've never noticed.
Yeah, it is true. Last year, the 15th Final Fantasy was released. Mm. Of the top 10 best-selling games last year, only one was a new game, new franchise.
Overwatch?
Yep, Overwatch. Otherwise, it's Call of Duty, Battlefield 1, even though it's the 30th Battlefield, and then annualized sports games, GTA 5. But, you know, there are new games every year, actual new games that come out every year that are not sequels and not based on any sort of licensed property.
Oh, nice.
So I've actually rounded up the notable new games coming this year.
Nice. Okay.
So I'm going to put them on.
I can name an old game that never had any sequels. Eye of the Beholder.
Wasn't that a Dungeons & Dragons game, though?
Yeah.
So
is that what it was called? No, I'm trying to make a joke about the game. I Have Judgment. That's what it was.
I Have Judgment.
I couldn't even remember it. That was
a joke. That was
last. Yeah, last week's 20 questions was I Have Judgment.
Oh, yikes.
Think you could have gotten that one?
No, absolutely not.
Name the launch game?
You appear every week on a prominent PlayStation podcast. You should know every PlayStation exclusive.
I still haven't looked it up. I still can't name the Move game that came out with Move with the collection.
That sports game.
Yeah. We were thinking about that like, after the like show, and I forgot
Champions?
To look it up.
Oh, yeah. Champions? Might have been PlayStation Champions.
Yeah. PlayStation Move Champions.
I have a story about Eye of the Beholder I didn't get to tell last week.
Oh, another story.
On the show.
I Have Judgment?
If it's fast.
Yes,
fast.
I Have Judgment. Excuse me. Yeah, it's fast. So I owned Eye of Judgment. I was very excited. My wife and I were out shopping at the mall. Have I told this story
you
before?
You did tell a story about how you brought it home and it didn't work?
No, not that story. We were running errands, and we stopped at the store. I bought Eye of Judgment, and it's got these cards in it, these collectible cards in it, and I desperately wanted to open it, but since it came with the PSI and all that, it was in a huge blister pack, and I'm in the car trying to tear it open with my hands by hand, and my wife's like, stop it, you're gonna cut your hand open, don't just wait till we get home. And I'm like, no, I want to look at the cards. And she had to stop at the public library. And so I'm waiting in the car, she's just running in for a second trying to tear these cards open, and then I slice my thumb open on the plastic.
And you're currently bleeding. Like, oh, gosh, he was right.
And it was such a, like, you'll shoot your eye out moment from A Christmas Story. And so then I had to, and I'm looking through the car for, like, napkins or something. I'm getting blood on my pants. And then I had to go into the library with this, like, blood. It looked worse than it was, but, like, my thumb was sliced open. It was, like, dripping. I'm like, like, looking for my wife to try to get some Kleenexes.
You're like, I was robbed.
I was robbed.
Yeah, then
it, and you still couldn't guess the game, Justin.
Yeah. It's the robber story snowballed from there. We had to file an insurance claim, and then I went home and played the game once, and it didn't work.
Yep. So, I had judgment.
Did you have a point, Damon?
Yes.
New games.
First new game of the year.
Nude games.
Yeah, new Ooh. Games of the year.
I'm in.
Neo.
Yeah.
N-I-O-H.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a game that I feel like this is one of those games where the IGN audience was hyped about this game before we were, before we really realized.
This game was announced, a decade ago?
No
way. I'm sure, think it went through, it went through like a bunch of iterations.
It's like Last Guardian-esque where they announced it, they're making it, there was a trailer years ago at E3, and then it disappeared for years and years and years. And I'm sure the game that we're seeing now is, you know, a whole new thing.
Yeah.
They brought it back.
Yeah.
PlayStation 4 exclusive.
Yeah.
It's out February 7th, developed by Team Ninja, and it's an action RPG inspired by the Souls series, but set in ancient Japan.
Yeah, I mean, all that sounds awesome, honestly.
Team Ninja, famous for a Metroid game.
For the worst Metroid game.
Well, second remember worst me. Metroid game.
What?
Metroid 2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what? Metroid 2 is bad? Is that true?
Yeah.
For Game Boy?
Yeah.
I never played it. Don't look at
it. I looked at Sam.
It's hard
bad.
To play. It's so smart.
Is it worse than Federation Force? Like,
no, it's not worse. I don't count Federation Force.
I've played like 20 minutes of it. It's like Metroid, but, you know, black and white.
Yeah.
Which makes it really difficult to figure out where you are and get around.
It's an action game. It's more of a linear action game. You go through areas and kill all the Metroids and move on to the next area.
Parts of it. The plural is Metroid Eye.
Well, I'll have to revisit Metroid 2.
Or don't.
Also in February, For Honor, new game from Ubisoft. We all know what that one is.
A bunch of people have been playing it here in the office for a couple streams, and they've been really liking it.
It's a beta.
There's a beta, yeah. That game also has samurai.
Or a beta.
Beta. Or a beta if you're from England.
Yeah. Sure. Also, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
New game.
Yeah.
From Guerrilla, makers of Killzone. Won't hold that against them. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be so mean. Then Has-Been Heroes is a new game announced recently from the developers of Trine, from Frozenbyte.
Yeah.
Frozenbyte.
So Vince brought that up for the first time. I'd really heard about it last week.
It looks really cool.
It does look cool.
Sort of like lane-based RPG combat. Reminds me a little bit of, now the name of it's gone. Sega made a samurai game where you would put samurai into... You reviewed it.
It was a mobile game.
And then they fight.
Right?
Yeah.
It was like the first game I reviewed for IGN, I think. I was literally at 1UP at the time.
And it's a combat system we've seen before, like put things in lanes and they clash together, but it looks very polished and very cool.
Yeah, and that's coming to everything, including Nintendo Switch, I believe. And then I wanted to ask you guys this. Let me ask you this. If you were putting together a list of new games, not based on existing franchises, would you include Yooka-Laylee on that list?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to, even though it's so
clearly a Banjo game in all but name.
Yeah. I would.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's its own characters. It's its own worlds.
Got a trouser snake in it.
It has the same font as Banjo. It has the same noises as Banjo. It has the same music as Banjo. Very excited for this.
I'm very excited for that game, too. That's not too far away. April 11th.
Is that announced for Switch?
12th.
Yeah.
Well,
because it was originally Wii U, and then they said they're moving to Switch.
Okay. Well, yeah. They said with that announcement that it was canceled for Wii U, they said they're in talks with Nintendo. So hopefully it will come to Switch.
Yeah, I chose Wii U as my platform of delivery. So let's see.
Little Nightmares.
Oh, yeah.
It's a creepy puzzle platformer from Bandai Namco, I believe. That's coming to everything in April 28th. We had it on our Gamescom live stream last summer. Looks pretty cool.
Look for it on our top 10 raincoats.
Would you consider One Two Switch to be a new game?
I mean, yeah. Except whenever we talk about One Two Switch, we get lots of pushback from the audience. They don't want to hear about that game.
We definitely aren't talking about One Two Switch.
I think Snipper Clips looks like the sleeper hit from that launch.
Yes, no, Snipper.
Was that a launch?
Snipper Clips
isn't a launch day game.
It's launch window.
I thought it was,
which is 9 months.
It was the only eShop game announced. Now there's a few more.
Regardless, it is coming this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm saying we're talking about 2017. Snipper Clips, secretly the coolest game Nintendo revealed at the Switch event.
Also, Zelda and Mario.
Not revealed, but Mario.
Yeah. New Donk City.
But that's not a new game, so we're not talking about those games right now. But Rhyme would count.
Yeah.
Which we just had for IGN First, I believe.
Yeah, and that's
coming I'm excited about that game.
It's coming in May, but they don't have a specific
date. Yeah, they just said May. But...
Features one suspiciously Witness-like puzzle that Justin and I were musing
It's over. Like Witness, Eco, Wind Waker. Yeah.
Adventure platformer. It's coming to all platforms in May. And then there's some other games that are supposed to come this year, but we don't have a release window for them. Cuphead. Yep. We've been waiting for that one for a long time. That's an Xbox One
2 years ago
exclusive.
Yeah, it was revealed so long ago.
But that's definitely fits the mold of something new.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Very unique. Very hard, very hardcore shooter.
Yeah. You have Kingdom Come Deliverance on your list?
That's not on my list, but I also don't think...
So that's still 2017 release date. And I was just talking to Dan Stapleton about it. It's been moved a few times,
but it's like
a really realistic-y looking medieval-based game, medieval combat. Open world, though, like Skyrim.
But it's not based on any existing series?
Mm-hmm. There's no, like, Kingdom Come series?
No. I mean, I know it's a brand new game. They kickstarted it for a ton of money and then have continued crowdfunding after. And everyone makes a Skyrim comparison because it's a gorgeous open world game.
It's realistic.
You know,
fighting dragons.
But there's no fantasy. It's just medieval.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, exactly.
So it's back in Game of Thrones times.
It's interesting.
Yeah. But really cool, like, fortified castles and horse combat and stuff like that, you know, like, in big armies.
Which we don't get a lot of in games.
Yeah, it looks really
cool. Or in non-strategy games, I guess.
And they really, like...
The countryside alone is just, like, watch videos of
this game. They're very open about their alphas and betas. People can play it. I haven't gone hands-on with it, but what I understand, they're really focusing on that large-scale, like, army versus army combat, but also one-on-one, like, sword fighting. They put a lot of thought
into it. Like For Honor, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it makes it out this year from Sony, we'll have Detroit Become Human.
Yep.
I can't imagine that being this year.
No, you don't think so?
Yeah. I'm a little, like, I'm super excited for all those games Sony revealed, like Spider-Man and Death Stranding and this, and, you know, the Uncharted DLC and Last of Us 2, and I don't know if any of those are going to be this year.
Sony structures their E3 press conferences, so it's like game, 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 and here's Uncharted, and here's Detroit, and here's Shenmue 3, and then, like, everyone's, like, screaming.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VII Remake, yeah.
Final Fantasy VII Remake, and then you actually sit down, and you're like is Spider-Man even a game yet? Like... Like, all those games were years away at E3 last year, but they...
I mean, Detroit, they showed at least... They've shown, like, full gameplay demos.
What about Hellblade?
Yeah, that's from
Ninja
the,
Theory.
Yeah, the Heavenly Sword developer.
The secret Heavenly Sword pseudo-sequel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really... Yeah, I played that at Judges Week, like, a year and a half ago, I think. Interesting third-person... Like, the camera's right over your shoulder, almost like Resident Evil, but it's, like, sword-based one-on-one combat.
Yeah. I mean, it's very Heavenly Sword, you know, much in that same vein. I'm glad to see them, underrated game, glad to see them get another shot to, like, get to
tap. And they also did, Ninja Theory was Enslaved, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, which
they've been
really
these developers really like that consistently put out good cool interesting games that just don't quite seem
catch on the way
they need to. Mm-hmm.
Hellblade is for PS4 and PC. And then there's this game, Knights and Bikes.
Yeah, that's from, I think, Rex Crowley, who was one of the leads on Tearaway at Media Molecule.
So yeah.
And he didn't leave Media Molecule, but he's sort of doing this game on the side, I think.
Yeah, well, is Double Fine involved with, like, publishing
I think Double Fine's going to be publishing, and it very much gives off the vibe of a Double Fine
Of, like,
game.
What's their Halloween game?
Costume Quest.
Yeah.
It's very, it's like a seemingly old-school RPG, but very much in a, like, modern-day, like, kids aesthetic.
Kids riding around on bikes, and they get into, like, fantasy battles.
Yeah. Inspired by That's Goonies, great. Earthbound, and Secret of Mana.
I'm in.
Yeah, right? Sounds great.
Yeah.
I was in at Goonies.
However, there have been no updates on that game in almost a year.
Yeah.
February of last year was the last time they were like, it's coming to PS4, so we'll see if that's this year or not. And then there's Matterfall, which is Housemarque. That was announced back in 2015. We were waiting on that one for a while.
Yeah, we didn't see it at PSX, and then we saw that Housemarque is working on that game with Eugene Jarvis.
Yeah, well,
really?
At PSX, they announced another game that's forthcoming.
Defender.
However, early this year, Housemarque tweeted that they were still working on Matterfall.
Yeah. So
I think they are. That is still coming. Pyre, you and I played Pyre at PAX East last year.
Yeah, that's from Supergiant, the Transistor Bastion team.
Yeah, and it's like more of like a. Is it like a competitive
arena combat?
It's almost like
like sports. You were like scoring points,
trying to get the ball in
it's
the
like
hole.
It's like a fantasy sport.
Yeah.
But there also is story segments in between and a campaign and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious to see how it comes together. Like the sports arena element of it. I'm kind of like,
it almost was like I feel like they were like very much inspired by Rocket League. like a MOBA slash Rocket League.
It is almost like a fantasy RPG Rocket League in some ways.
It's different types of units or different classes that have different abilities.
I mean, I thought Bastion was good, and I thought Transistor was incredible. Like their trajectory as a developer after two games.
I mean, they're two for two.
And they're moving in an upward swing. Like if Pyre delivers, then it's like they've sort of catapulted themselves.
They're on that list of like, okay, we are interested in anything you have to say.
Is Tacoma this year?
Okay.
That was not on my list. But remind me which one that is.
That's
former BioShock.
That's the Gone Home team.
Oh, okay.
Their second
that's
game. Their next. So it's Gone Home.
Takes place on a spaceship.
Yeah, very much your wandering around, environmental storytelling, piecing together what happened on the ship and why everyone's gone.
It also has Taco in the name. Taco Ma. The sequel could be Enchilada Dad.
We don't know for sure that it's not Taco Ma. Never heard it said out loud.
That's true.
I have. Yeah. Oh, we did an IGN first on it.
Hey, well, way to ruin
said it out
the joke.
Ask him about Enchiladad.
I will.
Microsoft has Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, from Rare.
That's a new one.
I'm very excited about that. Yeah, that was the most fun I had with a game demo.
Multiplayer.
Sea of Thieves may be very cool, or it may be No Man's Sky.
Well, I don't know if it'll be No Man's Sky, but
it's a little unclear.
Perfect
No Man's Sea.
It's a little unclear what the gameplay loop is and where. I think the game is demos well and in a fun way, but to sit down and play it for an evening, like how are you going to spend?
Oh yeah, they still. It was the most fun 15 minutes I had at E3. They need to prove what the rest of that game is.
Yep.
And then just a couple more. Strafe is a first-person shooter, specifically aping the mid-90s.
Yeah, it feels like the original Quake.
Quake One. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks pretty
with
cool.
With the graphics and everything.
Right? Yeah, and the soundtrack.
Yeah, it's a very fast-paced first-person shooter. And then Thimbleweed Park from Ron Gilbert. It's very classically styled.
That's just a screen-by-screen adventure.
Point-and-click adventure. Very much with all the verbs and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's cool.
It looks like it was made in the Scum engine. It's very cool.
And I love, that's another Kickstarter. I guess it's too early to say success story because maybe, it implodes at the finish line here. But hopefully, it's a game that gets made thanks to crowdfunding that just maybe wouldn't have happened otherwise.
Yeah, totally.
In addition to 1-2 Switch, I mean, there's ARMS. There's the other stuff Nintendo announced.
Yeah,
that's true.
Legs.
That's a sequel.
Eyes.
Where are you going?
I said it like that.
Where are you going with this?
And then you go to New Donk City.
I mean, there's that. I'm assuming you pick sort of the highest profile.
Yeah, I think so. But feel free to share any others.
I mean, just indies are always a great place for new stuff, like Gorogoa and just all.
I don't even know what that is.
Man, how is that game not out yet?
I know.
I feel like I played that game. It was 3 years ago.
Years ago. We have a list.
Sounds like a kaiju.
Sam, do you remember the headline? It's the thing Chloe did. I think it's 39 games to keep on your radar.
Yeah. Or just, it has a Night in the Woods and a couple other really cool
games. Oh, yeah.
If you look up games to keep on your radar, there's like smaller games.
This video. I can't recommend a video more on IGN right now. It's really, really cool. It's
the
like
30 right
some
now.
Games. Yeah. It's like 30 some games, and you just see little clips of them. But man, like it's really, really cool to see what's coming out. That it's just going to surprise us.
It's one of my favorite videos. There's the one with the M.C. Escher art where you're walking around those crazy non-Euclidean environments.
Wow,
what happened there? Mm-hmm. Is everything all right?
Ukulele.
Yeah, that's what I was
But then the big game that's coming this year that is a sequel or part of an existing franchise is Prey 2. No, just Prey. It's just called Prey.
Oh,
I feel like we're going to have to call it
and
Prey 2.
And that's not part of a franchise either.
I think it is.
It's not a sequel to Prey.
Yeah, but
it is another Prey.
It's just they said that it's just the name that's carrying
them. Yeah, but like
it's not the world. It's not the
most Call of Duty games aren't sequels to Call of Duty.
That's true.
I mean, I understand the point Sam's making, where like, hey, we just made another game that happens to have the same name as the game we've made in the
past.
That's
what they're playing
with no connection to it in any way. But it's like, why? Yeah.
If that game doesn't have vagina doors, I'm gonna be very upset.
Well, that game
one of the hallmarks.
I always call them butthole doors.
Two types of men.
One man's vagina, another man's butthole.
What?
Damon says that all the time, and I still don't understand it.
Is it not true?
He's always interrupting meetings and just saying that.
As my grandfather used to say.
We're in an entire 30-minute meeting, and Damon doesn't say a word.
Yeah,
what do you think?
We're at a lunch with clients, and Damon just uses that line.
Yeah. Anyway, Prey's coming.
No one wants to call him on it.
Prey's coming a lot sooner than I was expecting. Yeah. May 5th.
Yeah, surprised all of us.
I thought for sure that was going to be Bethesda's big fall game.
Well, there's rumors about Wolfenstein and others. I think they might be clearing room for some other big Bethesda game that we just don't know
about. Yeah, we're predicting that with it out May 5th, that at E3, Bethesda does another conference and reveals either, or possibly both, Wolfenstein and presumably Evil Within 2 or whatever Tango's been working on. That was years ago. Oh, maybe one of those shows up in the fall.
My prediction is that we'll see Wolf 2 in the fall.
That'd be awesome. Although I'd be worried, I hope it would sell. because I feel like it's hard to go up against stuff like Destiny and Call of Duty.
Yeah, the last one came out in the spring.
Yeah, so they found a lot of success with releasing Doom in May.
Yeah, right. And Wolfenstein in May. Yep. Like, yeah. I think they know for these sort of...
That's actually a good point. Yeah. Maybe they, you know, then, as a publisher, they're happy to sort of carve out
that. That's why maybe it's Evil Within for October.
Yeah.
Evil Within 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, to not go up against another shooter.
And I think
it's like a horror game.
Evil Within 1 came out late September.
Like, everybody loves Wolfenstein, but do they love it enough to buy it instead of Battlefront 2?
Yeah, or, I feel like Wolfenstein had a long tail.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's one of those games people remember super fondly. Like, people are still talking about how
Evil
cool
Within.
I really enjoyed it.
Different spot. Evil Within?
No, I like that game too. Yeah. Evil Within was like totally adequate as a horror game, a fun horror action.
Totally adequate.
I think Wolfenstein 2 like surprised the hell out of me. The characters are all like endearing.
Not Wolfenstein 2. Good.
Just Wolfenstein.
Yeah. Wolfenstein also.
Well, he said, yeah, Wolfenstein also.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. Sorry. I was confused. All right. That just adds another game to a very, very packed first half of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, because we know May is now that. You mentioned Rhyme earlier, Injustice 2.
Yeah, and I'm really excited for Prey. So now I guess I have just about 2 months to beat Zelda before Prey comes out.
And Horizon Zero Dawn.
You have 3 days to beat Horizon. Well, 2 months.
Yeah,
to beat
3 days to beat Horizon. 2 months to beat Zelda. And
are
then
you gonna play Mass Effect?
I gotta wait and see if it's any good.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. I thought Mass Effect 3 was just so not good that I'm waiting, taking a wait and see approach with Mass Effect.
I think resetting the universe is gonna help a lot.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I hope so.
A bunch of new weird aliens.
I thought you were going to say nudes.
And then I'm going to do
nude weird aliens.
I've been
as Damon always says,
half of them I'm going to kill and half of them I'm going to bone.
Yeah. Justin Davis story.
And then, and then those decisions will carry on through the next decade.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Hey,
listeners,
Tony.
Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Tom from Devon, England did. What? And he says, hey, Dayston and crew, that's you and me.
We got a name.
Dayston.
We are
Dayston. Doesn't really roll off the tongue, but A for effort. I'm a longtime PlayStation trophy fan, or addict, and now I even run a YouTube channel focused on that very subject. So many people look in envy at the high-level trophy and achievement hunters who got started as soon as Microsoft and Sony added support for these digital rewards.
But they could never stop.
Could this be a big selling point for the Nintendo Switch if they do plan on starting a new achievement system? I really think it could be a good move on their part to do so, due to how popular profile-based in-game achievements have become in recent years. I can see a lot of people jumping in on the new ecosystem if it gives them the opportunity to get a head start on being among the higher-level accounts on the Switch's network. After all, although pleasing their existing fans is important, many of them are older, like you and I, so drawing in a new young generation of gamers should be their main focus. Thoughts?
This is like the 13th anniversary of answering questions about Nintendo having achievements.
It could also have the opposite.
Right before the Wii.
You know, if someone has 18 platinums and 50,000 gamer score, maybe they don't want to switch. Maybe they're already invested in tracking their progress.
Do they want to start another?
I was personally into achievements and trophies
at the beginning.
And I'm not anymore.
I mean,
and I don't know what that means for Switch. I presumably means I don't care about them anymore at all.
People sort of.
What if they give you games?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What if they unlock
or
stuff? That's
like Nintendo with the stamps did such a smart thing where you would earn stamps that then you could leave messages in other games with those same stamps.
Well, when you street pass someone, you saw like stuff they did or what they were playing or puzzle pieces.
So I think there's definitely an opportunity to put. You know, Nintendo's really good about putting a Nintendo spin on existing ideas and things that already exist, and that manifests itself in like good and bad ways. Like, hey, we don't want to make a traditional shooter, but Splatoon's really cool. Or you know, even the shop buying experience, like you buy stuff from this like rabbit that's really fun and funny, and he's like the shopkeeper that talks to you. Like, I would love to see them do a unified, thought out, you know, top down achievement like system that earned you some sort of stamp or bonus that then you could use in some way.
And then they have a way to make even more money in a way that Microsoft and Sony don't if they link that with Amiibo.
Mm.
Like if tapping an Amiibo will unlock a point or, you know, something. And then people are like, well, maybe I should go out and buy these ones. And so you'd be happy about that. Got a lot of Amiibus.
I jumped off that Amiibo train, but I'm sure I'll be back.
You just got back on, I thought. Didn't you get some more?
I'm a little...
You got that Sonic Amiibo for Christmas.
I did.
I just got Vintage Link and Ocarina Link. I had to get them.
I got back into Amiibo, and then I built a $1,000 PC, and then I decided that maybe I shouldn't buy any.
Then you realize you're about
your
to have
Amiibo
a child.
In it.
And then I'm about to have a child.
Yeah.
Wow. Are you still enjoying the PC?
No.
No.
Wow. That was not the answer.
What a turn of events.
It's outdated now, Damon. It's been a month.
You were raving about it
I'm not really. I've been just watching a lot of West Wing.
West Wing. Still watching West Wing.
I watch.
You mean West World?
Yeah. I watched. The short answer is I've been watching a lot of television. West Wing and Death Note. Yuri on Ice.
Yeah,
the three of them. They share a cinematic universe.
No, I mean I get about 2 hours an evening to like that's my like pop culture time, and you know it's like either I play some big AAA game that blows my eyelids off with my new PC, or I watch.
How do you sleep after that?
Yeah,
you can't close your eyes. You use a like mask.
Yep. He's asking because you said you blow your eyelids off.
Oh.
Oh, you didn't get it?
Anyway.
That's a good goof.
Thanks, man.
We've lost our way here.
Yeah.
I'm glad I cleared that up between you guys. It was intense there.
I officially stopped caring about trophies and achievements the second I got a job in the industry and was like, oh, I'm playing through this entire game on a debug unit. Mm. And so none of this transfers over to
that is
my stuff.
An unfortunate
and at that point, I'm like, all right, I don't care.
Yeah, I would say it's like, it's kind of nice whenever an achievement or trophy pops up, but I don't really track it, and I don't ever compare mine to other people's, and I don't.
I love a game and I only want to play that game, I'll go start going for a couple of the achievements and trophies. But there's always some like kind of like mean unfair ones these days. Like you know, you get the platinum, you have to beat it on every difficulty instead of having them stacked. Yeah. And like stuff like that just turns me off to it. So
good
I rarely 100%.
Good achievement. I should say bad achievement design is such a pet peeve of mine. If they don't do that, if beating something on hard doesn't also unlock the beat on easy medium difficulty, like come on, guys. Like,
so I don't even know, but I've been playing Puyo Puyo Tetris, which the Japanese version, and I'm getting achievements for it. Do they just count just like any others towards my
right? Like the craziest achievement hunters, like the guys that really want to have like every achievement that exists, they have to play through a game from every territory.
That's what's cool about the Switch, right? It's region free.
So I really like that about it. Yeah, that's cool.
Achievements are. I'm torn between what you're saying. Like sometimes I beat a whole game, like I beat Skyrim, and it's like I have 220 of the 1,000 achievement points. Like that's annoying. Like I feel like I should.
What did you miss?
But then other times that can feel great if it's like, oh, I still have so much more stuff to like hunt down.
Yeah,
and do.
I like it when games encourage me to do something I didn't think of.
Yeah.
If an open world game is like jump off the tallest point on the map, I'm like, oh, I should go up there.
Oh man, I think
like Crackdown. I think I had that.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that made me think that Nintendo could use their achievement system to create like NES Remix style challenges.
Yeah, that'd actually be really cool. Yeah.
I mean, the best achievements I've ever seen, the game unfortunately was so broken, but was Master Chief Collection. Like the achievements were, it was like beat a level without jumping. Like,
I never thought about that.
They had all the achievements you could think of, all the obvious stuff, and then just dozens and dozens of weird, unusual things like that. It was great.
Even if
Halo's
you play...
one that I went for the achievements on always, too. That series has great achievements.
The multiplayer ones are always pretty crappy, but the single player ones are so good.
All right, this is Pete from Melbourne, Australia.
Boy,
happy Australia Day.
Yeah,
Pete.
Seriously.
He says, thanks for keeping GameScoop awesome. It makes my long commutes to work enjoyable. There's been a lot of talk about the Switch's upcoming online service and how it will restrict you to a classic game rental for a month before yanking it away from your grasp and replacing it with something else. A lot of people have, understandably, been very critical, but I've been looking at it from a different perspective, one of focus. Think about it. If Nintendo releases an online-capable version of Super Mario Kart for the month of September, every person who's online with their Switch will be playing it. Every player will be focused on that one game. That creates one heck of a community, as opposed to having to wait hours for other players in a game that nobody wants to play online anymore. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I've heard people suggesting this, that maybe they'll use
it's a game club
to add online support to old games. I don't think that's very realistic.
Well, no, they've said that.
They said that the NES games, some of them,
will have online capabilities.
Really?
Yeah.
How did I miss that? Well, really?
Yeah, it was like in the fine print of
it's pretty cool.
Their release.
I'm very skeptical. Like, with the rant I was about to go on was like, you can't just flip a Switch and have Mario Kart 64 suddenly be online. Like,
I don't think we should expect that every game that comes out is going to be radically different and have online support.
Mm.
But I don't think it's insane to think that at some point Super Mario Kart will be released with online support.
Yeah.
Wow.
For a month.
That's the thing that's weird.
It's like if it's great and everyone loves it, why would they take it away?
Yeah. I mean, unless they're like, hey, this is your trial, now you can buy it.
Yeah, maybe they'll also bring it back. You know, like Nintendo.
Yeah, maybe.
You have to remember that this is new for them too, so they're kind of going to find their way.
Yeah.
Like if it turns out to be something that's hugely popular, maybe they'll make them permanent.
Yeah, and I don't like the decision, but I do. I could see the argument in like I download all the free Games with Gold and PSN games, and I rarely play any of them.
Right.
But if it was like, hey, you download Secret of Mana, but you only have it for the next 30 days, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll start pecking away at that actually.
Yeah. I mean, my thing is, like, I understand why people are upset and why it's just a bad look compared to what Microsoft and Sony do, which is you get a free game that you get to keep forever. Like, it's not, it doesn't stack up good. But for how I personally play games, like, you know, I'll play Super Mario Kart for a month and then probably not play it again anyway. So it doesn't bother me personally. But I do think for Nintendo introducing paid online to their ecosystem for the first time, that it maybe wasn't the best call.
Yeah, they should walk this back. Change it or explain why they're making it this way. Maybe there's a good reason for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they don't have much time to sort all that out.
Well, I don't think there's going to be a lot of the stuff at day one anyway. They don't have any of their online details sorted out already.
Exactly.
I mean, it is a risk to, we don't know what percent of Nintendo's revenue is just reselling people old games, but significant, right? Like they have a deeper and lengthier library of games than anyone else in the industry, than anyone, period, that's still open. And that's a huge asset to them that makes them millions of dollars. And to start giving that away, like, someone at the company is probably like, nah, you can't do that. Like, that's my department, and we make millions of dollars. Like, so then maybe they arrived at some compromise?
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
You can just buy Animal Crossing. It's got all that stuff for free in it.
That's true.
The very first Animal
Crossing. Yeah, only the old one.
GameCube.
Mm-hmm. GameCube. Bunch of NES games. Yeah. Yep.
Can you imagine? They'd never do that today.
It was so good at the time. No, I love that.
That's how I discovered Clue Clue Land.
Yes, that's the first play I played Clue Clue Land as well. That game's very difficult.
That game's not good.
Oh, I like it.
I bet if there was an arcade cabinet and the controls kind of matched how it works, it would make a lot more sense. But on the D-pad, you have to hold, it's tank controls, basically. It's whatever direction you are facing, the controls are relative, and it's so confusing.
Yeah. All right, this is Jeff. He says, sup, Scoopers. Big fan of your show. I've been listening to you guys and NVC for the last couple of years, and boy, it makes work so much better. So, I've been playing Stardew Valley recently on the PS4.
Best.
It's been so much fun that my two daughters and my wife decided to start playing too.
Aww.
Now it's getting challenging to get time into play. I think this would be an awesome game to have on a 3DS.
Yes, it would.
Hint, hint. I don't know who he's hinting to.
I'll make it happen.
But it's only going to be released on the new Switch. Mm-hmm. My question is this. What Harvest Moon or other farming game would you recommend playing on the 3DS? Since that is the backup gaming device I use when the PS4 and the Wii U gamepad is being used. Thanks for the awesome show you guys do. Unfortunately, I think all the Harvest Moon games for 3DS are pretty bad.
What's it? 3DS does not play Game Boy Advance, right? It's weird. I don't know.
It doesn't.
It's only DS.
The DS plays it.
Yeah.
So the best Harvest Moon is Friends of Mineral Town, the GBA game.
Oh, I was going to wonder.
It could be digital. Maybe. Digitally available. I don't know, though. Look that one up, though. What's the name again?
Friends of Mineral Town.
Okay. We'll check that out. And then I wanted to ask, would Animal Crossing New Leaf...
Sure, that might
scratch that itch. Yeah.
That game is wonderful.
Yeah, the game's really
and
good.
You can trade off on...
I don't know if it counts as a farming game, but...
Oh, there's also...
You plant trees and farm it. I mean, it
Fantasy
is different.
Fantasy Life? Is that what it was called?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I played a lot of that game. Yeah. I'm looking up...
Is it called
I'm
Fantasy
making
Life?
Sure that's the name of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it has like a... They're kind of called Life Sims. Animal Crossing is, I think, the pinnacle of those games until... And I haven't played...
Yeah, Fantasy Life.
I haven't played Stardew Valley, but I hear Stardew Valley is just...
Really good.
Could be better.
It's not the same. It's not like a farming game, but it's similar-ish. I don't know. It scratched a similar itch for me.
Mm-hmm. But then the original Super Nintendo Harvest Moon is probably available through the eShop, right?
I don't think it is.
It isn't.
No, I've always wanted to play that game.
I like the original a lot.
So the interesting thing about Harvest Moon is the games that are Harvest Moon now are not the same. It's one of those cases where the developer and the publisher split.
Mm.
And so the people that used to make the Harvest Moon games now make Story of Seasons. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what Harvest Moon became. And the Harvest Moon games now are, you know, they're not bad, but some people are like, oh, these games fell off a little bit. And that's because it's a different group.
Well, is Story of Seasons good?
I haven't personally played them, but I know they're well-liked.
Okay. Harvest Moon just came out on 3DS.
Yeah, I just don't think they're all. I was looking at reviews and they're not good.
Yeah, especially in the Stardew Valley world.
I will say, I wanted to get into. I know Friends of Mineral Town is good because I was looking up. I wanted to play a farming game, a life sim game, and I did a bunch of research to figure out what one people liked the most and bought that GBA game and played it. And to have a game like Stardew Valley come along that just. It's almost like a statement game where this is it. This is the ultimate version of, you know, this genre that
it sets a bar so high that it's almost like a mic drop. Yeah.
Yeah. Or I don't have, a comparison in another genre, but this is definitively the best, biggest, most polished, most incredible farming game that there's ever been.
Yeah.
It's just great. It's a fantastic feeling to get something like that.
Made by just one guy.
Yeah. He deserves all the success in the world. Crazy. He made more money than Call of Duty on Steam in 2016.
It's so hard to, because Call of Duty is the best, the top selling game of the year overall in the industry.
Yeah, I just don't think it's
the PC version was not super well received.
See. All right, this is Carl. He says, a few months ago, I wrote in asking for advice in game development software. You do not fail me, and my wife and I have started researching and planning for development this summer. Thanks very much. I'd also like to thank you.
That question.
Yeah. I'd also like to thank you for giving me the strength to quit playing Final Fantasy XV after your conversation two weeks ago. I found myself not even enjoying the few things that most other people liked about the game, like the battle system and character relationships, but for some reason I kept playing it all the way to Chapter 8. I had fallen victim to one of the classic blunders, justifying the purchase, even though I didn't like the game.
Sure.
After hearing that some of you had gotten to the same point and moved on, I decided to do the same. Now I'm playing Darkest Dungeon, a third the price and a far better game, in my opinion. Darkest Dungeon is awesome.
Yep. Very good, good.
Yeah. I mean, we don't need to like harp on it some more, but like you.
That's great that worked out.
No one should feel obligated to keep playing a game that you're not enjoying.
No. And it's totally fine that, like.
Well, especially, money can be tight. Like, people don't get to buy an unlimited number of games each year. But if you just made a mistake, you spent the $60 and you don't like it, like, trade it in right away.
Yeah.
Like, don't delay because the price is dropping by the day.
Don't feel bad. Don't feel weird. Yeah. Like, I love Final Fantasy XV. It's totally fine if you don't.
Yeah. Plus, you made it all the way to Chapter 8. That's a good chunk of the game.
You've played more than enough of it to form an opinion on it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I was going to say that. Like, you got far enough to know whether you're going to like it or not.
Oh, I should say the Stardew Valley guy with his wife and kids, co-op is coming to that game. Multiplayer is coming.
Oh.
I don't think
all versions, like even the PS4 version?
I mean, no. I have no details except that, like, that's the next big thing happening in that game, and then I think the developer is kind of done with it after that. Like, he's working on multiplayer. I don't know whether it's coming to just PC or what. So that would be a fantastic game to play with.
Scoop.
Yeah, for
sure. Scoop right there.
Mm-hmm.
Time to talk about what we've been playing lately. Based on Sam's recommendation, I started playing Gravity Rush 2 last night, and he's right. That game is super fun.
I like it a lot.
Oh, man, I love it to death. I've been playing it nonstop. That's all I can think about. It's a mixture of Zelda and Mario Galaxy.
Yeah.
It's big, gravity-based, fun flying around stuff. It's very open. You just fly wherever you want at any time. And if you think about making a game around that kind of level of movement, it's amazing. You have to make a giant 3D blob of a map. And that's what this game is. Whether you're right side up or upside down or anything, it all has to make sense. It's so clever.
But they made that gravity traversal in any direction so easy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not confusing for the player.
Yeah, you kind of point your cursor and then go if you're not on the ground. And if you're on the ground, it just plays like any other action game. You jump running and jumping and stuff like that. It's really funny that way. And then the character is like very appealing, just like
it's just very
funny,
likeable,
comedic relationships and very likable character. There's a black cat in it, which is really cute.
That cat is awesome.
Yeah, Dusty.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah, I never played the first Gravity Rush. So
I don't know anything about that game or the series.
First experience with it, and I think it's great. Super fun. The traversal and the movement is really, really fun.
Yeah, you totally don't need to have played one.
Did one get it? One got like an HD remake, right?
Yeah, for PS4.
That's out too, yeah. So maybe
that's the game I reviewed and then forgot to publish the text review. So my video review was on the site. My text review was a draft in our CMS.
Oh no. I like having that game too. You start in like a small area that's still pretty big, and you kind of learn things. You go to these really neat areas full of like lush plants, everything looks really different. And then all of a sudden the game where I am right now opens up and it's like this multi-layered city where it's like the rich people live in these skyscrapers, then there's a market area, and then there's like a foggy cloud.
Yeah.
With all these poor people, like slums below it. And you can fall from like the top level, like all the way through. And it takes like minutes to do. It's huge. And it's just this giant thing. And then there's like cars floating around and pigs and people. And it's just crammed.
Pigs
and you
people.
Just stop and you can just look. And it looks like an amazing anime. Mm-hmm. Yep. That game is so impressive.
Yeah.
I like that game a lot. It's really fun.
Can't wait to keep playing.
So, Justin, you're not playing anything.
Well, I don't want to follow Sam's incredible description. No, I'm playing. I'm hooked. I want to give a special shout out to another mobile game that I'm addicted to. It's called Gumball and Dungeon.
Gumball and Dungeon.
I've tweeted about it a few times. Please, if you're playing it, tweet at me, Eric Justin. It's the only thing I'm thinking about. It's the only thing I'm talking about. And I want more people to talk to about it because I get the impression that the game is popular in some other spots around the world, but not the U.S. So
this is the one that you're saying is kind of like Dungeon-a-lot?
It is. It's sort of a clone of Dungeon-a-lot, but with free-to-play in kind of a good way, not a bad way. Free-to-play in the sense that like there's a lot of stuff to kind of grind through over weeks and weeks. If you know, it's more of a game you check in on a couple times a day than just sit and play for a whole evening. What I like about it, I like a lot of stuff about it, but what I especially like about it is each dungeon has a different gimmick that feels really different. And one, you're... I think, did I talk about this on the show, or maybe I just ranted to one of you guys? You get these different colored gems.
One of your rants.
You get these different colored gems, and if you assemble them in what order, that casts a different spell.
Oh, yeah.
And in a different one, you're summoning some buddies to come help you. And in another one, there's like a genie that's granting you special wishes. And these dungeons go deeper and deeper and deeper with these really hardcore, challenging boss fights and all these different character classes you can pick.
What's the gumball?
They're slimes. They're Dragon Quest slimes, but I think they're worried about getting sued. So it's actually, it is in some ways kind of copyright infringement, the game. They're so obviously Dragon Quest slimes that, like, if the game were to get very popular, they may actually need to make them less slime-like. But very cute, very polished, very easy to kind of pay for free. But if you do spend money, I feel like I'm getting, like, good value for the money that I put into it. I play it every night. It's great.
Gumball and Dungeons.
Yeah.
Gumdrop?
It might be Gumballs.
Gumballs.
Hold on. It's
a Z.
It is
also with a Z.
Yeah.
Gumballs and Dungeons.
Gumballs.
It's Dungeons.
On iOS and Android worldwide. Download today.
Marty, what you playing?
I got two things. I got I just started Yakuza 0.
Oh, cool.
Which I'm super excited about. Yeah.
That's a karaoke game, right?
That's pretty much a karaoke game. it is, it's a prequel to the other Yakuza games set in Shibuya 1988 in the sort of Kabukicho.
Is there some cool, like, 80s district stuff in it?
Yes, it is. Okay, so there are arcades where you can play
Space Harrier.
And,
it's just
and
cool.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a Sega game. It's got all the Sega arcade games.
Like, cool. I'm so less interested in playing through the story and so more interested in just exploring and going to, like, maid cafes and going to stores and eating ramen. And
it's that open that you can
Totally. It's not open world in the sense of, like, GTA, but it is really dense spaces where there's a ton of stuff to do and, like, all the mini games are super fun.
It is more of a brawler than an open world
game. Yeah, it's more of a brawler, but someone who that. Really...
A lot of fighting then?
Yeah. Okay. I really enjoy...
And it's all kind of, like, comical and over the top. Right?
Yeah, totally. You befriend these talking chickens, and it's very strange. As someone who just got back from Tokyo and really enjoys Tokyo, being able to sort of experience...
someone who really enjoys talking chickens.
I was about to say, a somewhat realistic depiction of Tokyo 1988 minus the talking chickens.
You don't know. You weren't there.
That's true. And then Resident Evil 7.
Yeah. I should mention, I totally want to play Resident Evil 7. I started playing Gravity Rush 2, and whenever I feel like I'm done with that, I'll probably move on to Resident Evil.
Too spooky for me.
It's very spooky. I adore it, though. Resident Evil is one of my favorite series.
Wow.
I adore
it. I mean, that's really good to hear, because I love old Resident Evil, and it is 5 and 6 didn't do
same.
Anything for me.
It is, despite the fact that it made the big leap to first person, which I was a little worried about, it feels so much like a sequel to Resident Evil 1. Like, not in a way, like, you don't need any of the baggage of the prior entries in the series. Like, the story is removed. Don't worry about
that. That's why I want to ask, if you can answer this without spoilers. Mm-hmm. Does it take place, like, if you laid out the timeline of Resident Evil starting from, like, Raccoon City, does this actually fit in there with the same?
It's the same universe. Right? It's not a reboot or anything.
It is not a reboot. It is Resident Evil 7.
Yeah, so it takes place after the others.
It is Resident Evil 7.
He's being coy.
I don't want to spoil it.
It's different characters in a different place and different all of that. But it's not a.
It is one of those things. If you have never played a Resident Evil game, you are not going to be confused.
Okay,
if
but
you have played Resident Evil games,
this?
You are going to see things that.
Like I saw a painting in the game, which was like of something else.
Yeah,
that you know what it is.
That's more what I was asking. Long-time Resident Evil players, are they gonna get anything out
definitely,
of it?
Definitely.
I can respect. I'm not gonna play it because I'll be too scared. But I've heard a lot of people give impressions that like they really walk this tightrope of like it feels like Resident Evil, but also feels new.
Yeah, I mean,
and, like
feels...
they switch it to first person, but it doesn't change. Like that's an impressive feat for Capcom to have pulled off.
Yeah, it's it has the same sort of sense of dread, awesome sense of space, inventory management, ammo scarcity, puzzle design.
Did you know in the New Game Plus, you actually get the typewriter tapes that you have to...
You have limited, a finite amount?
You have limited
saves awesome.
And the madness difficulty.
Yeah.
It's good.
The enemies, like the Baker family, has a lot of character to them. The main character is kind of a wet blanket, but that's fine. I'm really enjoying it so far. Everyone should check it out.
Since we last talked to you, I also beat The Last Guardian.
Oh, nice.
I won't say much about it, but you reviewed it, and I agree with your review.
Yeah. It has very...
It was longer than I thought it would be. The water, when the doggy jumps in the water, it's really cute.
It is very cute. It got very frustrating when the doggy would not do what I wanted in the water. That's a terrible sentence.
That's fine.
I'm going to say that ever again.
Never say never.
Dog in the best.
It's not like you're making a dog movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Topical.
All right, now's the time on GameScoop when we play video game 20 questions. Everyone knows how this works. You email me a suggestion.
I used to know how it worked.
I'm the only one who knows the answer, and then my panel has 20 yes or no questions to guess this mystery game. This week's suggestion comes from Trevor Swayze.
Ooh, that's a great last name. Yeah, I've always wanted to own an arcade and name it Swayze's.
Pretty good.
We got an email the other week at the Beyond email alias giving a 20 questions recommendation. I was like, wrong one. Yeah.
What was show. It?
It was a super hard. It was a Sega game I'd never heard of. Yeah. I was okay. no one would get this.
People are always sending me. People are always sending me really obscure ones. They're like, they'll never guess this one. I was like, what's the fun in that? They're like,
yeah. It has to be something. We decided to go there.
I mean, that's the thing is, you want us to get mad if
I thought Justin and Vince is a huge PlayStation guy. Yeah. Justin's a card game fan. Yeah. Vince is a big PlayStation guy. I thought they could get IGN.
If we would have landed on weird games sooner, before we had like two questions left, we would have got there.
Anyway, let the questioning begin.
Has Justin seriously injured himself?
Dude, how many other games have I seriously injured myself with? This and DDR. I like the new opening question I've been going with. Does your character earn and spend a currency in this game? Spend money?
I actually can't answer that question.
For the second week in a row.
Does that count?
That's good.
It doesn't count.
Well, it takes off. It's obvious. Clearly not like an RPG.
Does your can your character speak? Does your character speak?
Yes.
I don't know if that means out loud or via text.
Well, but it eliminates Chrono Trigger.
And Half-Life.
And Half-Life and Zelda.
And Link. Is this before January 1st, 2000?
No.
Okay. I'm out.
Somewhat modern.
Does this game have sequels?
No.
Mm. Is this a current, PS4, Xbox One generation game?
No.
Oof.
I maybe should have done 2010 then.
No, that's okay.
Can you see your character on screen during this game?
Yes.
Is it from the previous generation to Justin's question, the one prior generation?
Xbox 360, PS3?
Yes.
Wii?
Okay.
So that generation... Third person game or 2D game.
Yeah.
Is this a 2D game?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it a retail game?
Yes.
Okay. Is this game M rated?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to abstain.
Okay. But
your character speaks. It's a third-person game where you see your character
from
last gen with no sequels.
And the fact that he couldn't answer that question to me means it's probably like in the T range. Like it's not Mario, but it's also not GTA.
Is this a Japanese game?
No, not M. Because if it was clearly M, if it was GTA, he would know.
But like it's always struck me as weird that like Halo's rated M.
That's true. Sam is asking if this is a Japanese game. The answer is yes.
Okay.
A one-off Japanese game.
Is this game made by a first party? First-party manufacturer?
No.
Oh, good.
That's 10.
That's all.
That eliminates what Sony and Nintendo.
Capcom.
Should we try
Konami
to get genre?
Bandai Namco.
Genre is usually
probably not RPG. Not like a Souls game because there's currency.
What are you looking at?
I don't like that smug look.
Yeah, me
it's
neither.
First party.
Well, what's going on
so
here?
It's
malarkey. I'm calling malarkey.
I'm trying to think of what Capcom games came out last gen. It was Dead Rising, Lost Planet.
Dragon's Dogma.
I think we already had that one, right?
No, what was the other one? The one with the planet where it's like the Planet Rage game where there's like the big fist. I always get it confused with Dragon's Dogma.
Not God of Rage. Akuma's Wrath?
No, Asura's Wrath.
Asura's Wrath.
It'd be Asura's Wrath.
Is there money in that game?
No. But maybe he just didn't know. Because we didn't know if there was
money. I'm shocked that you guys got that with my description, my terrible description.
I just remember
game.
From E3.
It's
all quick time events.
I just remember Jose hating and calling it Basuro's Wrath.
Basuro. Good Spanish joke.
Yeah. Should we try to get the developer?
I don't know.
you guys did determine whether it was 2D or 3D?
3D.
Okay.
3D third person. You see your character.
Yeah, genre developer would be kind of neat. Or if it was an exclusive, does that even matter to us?
I was leaning towards narrowing down exclusive.
Because Nintendo is a big deal for me.
Yeah, but it's not made by Nintendo. So
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
He said it wasn't first.
But I don't know what Wii U games there would be. But not even Bayonetta.
Platinum game?
Sequels.
Was this a maybe console this like exclusive game?
Vanquish is not new enough. That wasn't 360.
Let me just ask that.
Could be Vanquish.
Are you asking if it was exclusive to a specific console?
Yeah.
No.
Is this an action game?
If you were kind of, so there's action in the game, but you wouldn't categorize it as an action.
Yeah, when I meant action, I was like God of War, Onimusha.
No. It's not Vanquish.
Not Vanquish. It's officially not Vanquish.
It's not Asura's Wrath.
Mm-hmm. Asura's Wrath.
Or anything like twitchy, like Dark Souls-y or anything like that.
Wow. I don't feel great about this. A Square game?
So, I mean, if it has some action in it, it could be like one of those Heavy Rain type games.
Yeah. But it couldn't even be, it's not even like any of the Tomb Raiders or any of those. Well, it's Japanese made, but like even.
But, just, we're not very narrow here.
Is this game generally held in high regard?
Yes.
Was that 13?
Yeah.
Does this game take place on Earth?
Yes.
Okay. What?
Ooh.
You got it?
Do you play as an... no, wait, that's Sony First Party. Never mind.
What?
I suddenly went to Tokyo Jungle. But that's First Party.
Also, is that a retail release?
I don't know. Actually. Your character speaks in this game.
Animals talk. Oh, no, you talk in Tokyo Jungle to other animals.
So it takes place on Earth. Should we ask present, past, future? Does that help at all? Do you have, or like, do you shoot? Things like that?
Yeah, okay. Does this game take place in like current or near current day?
Yes.
Sounds like a boring game.
15.
So what were like some, I don't even know what the open world, like there was prototype.
Do we want to ask if it's open world?
Maybe. I like your shooting, like how you interact with the game.
Let's ask if it's open world. I like Is this an open world game?
No.
Great.
Well, at least we're not thinking about that.
Level-based, 3D game, see your character.
Some action.
A little bit action-y.
Yeah.
We know you play as a human?
No. I don't know how helpful that is. Ori and the Blind Forest.
This isn't a lot of information. No, it's contemporary. 3D.
Yeah, this is last-gen.
Ori and the Blind Forest was not last-gen.
Yeah, it was
just... My bad.
And,
highly praised.
And that's not retail. So let's go over the companies. We got Konami. What could it be from there?
Nothing
without a sequel.
Yeah, exactly. They do sequels. Well,
no, I mean last gen they pretty much just did Metal Gear and
something
Silent
pretty
Hill.
Obscure. Yeah, so Capcom.
Yeah,
that has
Dead Rising, Lost Planet.
Lost Planet. Yeah, those are
Bionic sequels. Commando, which I don't know if that was developed in Japan.
And that's an action game. That was Grin.
That was Grin. That's right. Wouldn't be From, because all From did was the Souls games.
And Damon said it's well regarded, but no sequel.
It's not fighting, so it's not like Capcom's. Then there's Bandai Namco.
Yeah,
that would be the next biggest one.
Yeah, so there's stuff like Ni No Kuni and Souls games and anime stuff, which
could be Ni No Kuni.
What?
Oh, Ni No Kuni does have a sequel.
Yeah, and it has currency.
And it has money.
Yeah, or clearly has money. We don't know if this game has money or not. But it definitely doesn't certainly have money.
crap.
And it takes place in present day and stuff like that. That's all.
Yeah. Oh, that's
Nintendo,
right.
Not Sony.
I feel like there's something that'll give this away, and it might have to do with art style.
We got all the clues.
Or genre.
I don't feel like there's that many Japanese games with contemporary settings. Like I'm picturing like Tomb Raiders and Uncharted's and all those. Like who in Japan's making games that take place now? It's just not that common.
Yeah, I mean, like
especially without money. It sounds like it could be a weird one.
Well regarded, though.
Is it? Hold on. We're down to four questions.
Yeah.
Plus, like, what, you know, games came out on Wii 360 that also came out in PS3 that were Japanese games? Like, that's pretty unusual.
Not Sony first party.
Or at least came out on 360 and PS3. Like, that's very strange.
And it did get a retail release, so it's not, you know, it's not. I mean, I know Mark and the Ninja wasn't Japanese made, but some stranger downloadable game we're not thinking of.
Should we ask about, like, arts? Is there some kind of art style question we can ask about? Like,
does this game focus on, like Japanese culture? Like, is it a Japanese-feeling game?
I think that's fair to say yes.
That's good.
Persona, Yakuza.
No, those all got sequels.
No. I'm just thinking of games that take place.
Was there a ninja game? What were ninja games?
Yeah, ninja games would be good.
It's probably our raw action. Like,
they'd be contemporary though,
or stealth.
It doesn't take place.
Beverly Hills Ninja.
Ooh, Three Ninjas.
Yeah,
we just name a ninja movies now.
Rocky, Tum Tum.
Speaking of Three Ninjas, three questions left.
Oh no.
Wait, Sean knows.
Oh, because Sean probably has the run.
Sean has the run of show.
Oh,
all right.
Note. Okay. No. Don't.
Aw, dang.
No more. No more.
Super.
Hints.
Aw, dang.
we don't have a bad year.
Like, what about our games of the year?
You're 2 for 3 this year. So not
Okami.
About a year.
Portal. Journey. The Last of Us.
Could it be Okami?
No. Because it has a sequel. Okami done.
And it doesn't take place in contemporary Earth.
True.
What about like all the like Killer 7 and stuff like that?
It's too old.
Killer 7 was last year.
But
No More Heroes?
Yeah.
No, there's a No More Heroes 2.
A sequel. And it takes place in Japan, which is really good. Yeah. I think we're on the right track with those type of games.
Platinum.
Grasshopper.
Yeah. Good call. Or like
a pseudo game, like Lollipop Chainsaw.
Yes.
But that's clearly an action game.
Should we ask if it's a pseudo game?
I think we just named them all.
Okay. Did we?
I didn't. Sean coming in threw me off my vibe, being like, "Man, we should have already gotten this."
Is it a lot of kicky punchy in this game?
No.
What a dump question.
It's not a dump question.
Can we do first letter?
No,
it's cheating.
Begin with an M.
No. Two questions left. You can narrow it down a little bit, and then you have to guess a game.
Does this game have a cool soundtrack?
Wait,
off the grid.
I'll just not answer that one. Okay. I don't know.
So bad.
I give up.
Should we ask if it's like cel shaded or sci fi or something?
Yeah, you wanted to ask about art style earlier.
Realistic.
Or stylized. Does it look stylized?
Well, which one?
Those are the two opposite ones.
Yeah.
Does it look realistic?
Yes. Hope you don't burn me for that one. But I think if in a yes or no scenario, the answer is yes.
In 2017, real is in the eye of the beholder.
We should have asked if it had been reissued or got an HD.
All right.
We still have one question.
No,
you have to guess.
You have to ask the game.
Yeah, is it this game? Yeah, I really thought you guys would get this one.
Okay.
No,
the 20th question.
The 20th question is.
Is it?
Like, you only have 20 questions to guess the title.
What's the 20th question we should ask, Sean?
No.
Is it?
We can't ask anymore. So.
What are we going to guess?
I still want to believe it.
You're out of runway.
I still want to believe that it's Tokyo Jungle.
You can ask that.
What? No.
Should I reveal it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Or at least
okay. We lost.
What about just one of the Suda games or something from that?
I just want to know what letter it begins with. We lost.
We lost.
What letter does it begin with?
C.
Catherine, are you serious? Oh my god!
How did you get that so fast?
Because it's like my favorite game of last generation. I can't believe Mark. Yeah. I bring up Catherine on every single podcast.
It was totally Catherine.
And I kept talking about Persona.
I didn't lead you astray, did I?
No, not at all.
I don't know if there's a currency system in that game.
Totally takes place in like contemporary Japan. Yeah.
Even though it's animated style, I think it's a realistic animation style.
That was Atlas. That was a Persona.
Atlas. That's Atlas.
We didn't ask about Atlas.
Yeah, you didn't get to Atlas.
I brought up Persona and all I did was like, oh, they've definitely not done any other games that I know are...
And there's no Catherine sequel, huh?
No Catherine sequel. It was people like that game.
So good.
I never played it.
People think it might be in the same universe as Persona, which I would like.
I think it's kind of a puzzle platformer would be the genre.
It is a half puzzle platformer, half very realistic adventure game, like pregnancy sim.
Pregnancy sim.
Well, half puzzle platformer, half visual novel.
Like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but it deals with like relationships and pregnancy and infidelity in a really cool way. And the devil.
There's two Catherines.
That's the devil. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one with a K, one with a C.
Spoilers. Catherine.
I don't feel great. I don't feel great at all.
Okay.
Yeah, I blame Marty.
Absolutely blame Marty.
That suggestion.
I think we were asking the right questions.
Yeah. What would
it was just not, no, I'm not saying excluding you.
It's another weird game. Maybe you need to ask that question. Is this a weird game?
Yeah, it is a weird game.
That got brought up. I said, guys, I think this might be a weird game.
Yeah.
And then I started going through the developers, but didn't get to Atlas.
I was
going to
ask about Weird Game, but you only have 4 questions left. I was worried.
Yeah.
I was worried.
At that point.
Atlas.
I think that makes you guys 2-2 this year.
Goodness gracious. It's failing.
This one hurts. This is the most painful loss I've ever had.
I feel like I've fallen off this game.
It's because you're thinking about the baby.
Yeah, when I'm gone, you'll have a month.
Distracted, we'll see.
Shore things up.
If it's just win after win after win while you're gone, then we'll know who the weekly
also is. Jared left. So that explains everything.
Yeah, but he was not as helpful as you might think. He always thought it was Sheeran the Wanderer.
Oh!
It's
this obscure Japanese game that no one has ever heard of.
Fantastic, obviously. Wonderful human being, better than all of us, but not great at 20 questions.
That's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, baby.
You can always reach us at the email address gamescoop@IGN.com. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out. Don't.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.